We're still in Gilgal, still at really the college there, as we take up this reading in 2 Kings chapter 4. We'll just read the verses 42 through 44 tonight. This is where the miracle is comprised. Verses 42, 43 and 44. We read, "There came a man from Baal Shalisha, and brought the man of God," that's Elisha himself, "bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley, and full ears of corn, and the husk thereof. And he said, Give unto the people, that they may eat. And his servitor said, What? Should I set this before 100 men? He said again, Give the people, that they may eat. For thus saith the Lord, They shall eat, and shall leave thereof. So he set it before them. And they did eat, and left thereof according to the word of the Lord." In the 19th century, Dr. Bernardo conceived the idea of putting London's homeless children into small cottages where they could be cared for and loved. Whenever he had this idea, friends came along to him and they tried to dissuade him from wasting his resources on such a crazy idea, as they had said. At that time then, when his friends came, Dr. Bernardo began to doubt his plans and doubt their authenticity, or rather, their possibility. However, at this time of doubt, he attended a conference in Oxford, and he settled into his lodgings for the night. As he settled into his lodgings, there was a knock came at the hotel door, and there was a man that he had never met before in his life. He said to Dr. Bernardo, "Dr. Bernardo, I hear you're thinking of building a village for orphan girls at Ilford, are you not?" Bernardo replied, "Yes." Well, this man simply said, "Put me down for the first cottage." He wrote him a check. He placed that check in Bernardo's hands. He then left the door without so much, or ran through the door without so much as telling him his name. And you know, as we approach these last few verses at the end of 2 Kings chapter 4, we have another man, and he is anonymous to us. He is simply called a man from Baal Shalisha in verse 42. We do not know his name, but he simply comes with a substantial gift for the work of God, and he leaves it in the hands of Elisha, and Elisha takes that gift and uses it to further the cause of the Lord in Israel at that time. By this time now, the sons of the prophets at Gilgal, who we looked at last week, it seems that they had got over the problem of their dangerous pot of stew. But times obviously were still very difficult. Verse 38 tells us there was a dearth in the land, and the famine was still very much rife, and they had went to their cupboards only to find them empty and bare. Here these young men who were training for the prophetic office, they were dependent now upon the contributions of godly Jews to meet their daily needs. Jews would come at times, they would make offerings to these young men, to their cause, to meet their need. However, because of the famine, it seems that these gifts had diminished and died out altogether. Times were hard, times were difficult. These young men had fallen on desperate times. But in their time of need, God, he raised up a man from a place in the northern territory of Israel, the place of Baal Shalisha, and he travelled all the way to Gilgal simply to bring these hungry young men food. In Deuteronomy 18, verses 3 to 5, Jews are instructed to give harvest gifts to the priest or to the house of God. But because of the priesthood, mainly apostatizing at this time and falling away and falling into Baal worship, what the godly Jews would do with their contributions, with their offerings, would be, well, they would find out a prophet like Elisha or like Elijah, young men who were faithful to the Lord, and they would then bring their gifts and their offerings to such individuals. Verse 42 tells us that this man from Baal Shalisha, he brought a sizable and commendable offering. He brought 20 loaves of barley and full ears of corn in the husk. 20 loaves of barley, and he brought it many, many miles. However, Whilst it was a tremendous offering, a thing that would have cost him, as we're going to see later in the message, yet these 20 loaves, they were not sufficient to feed these hungry young men. But Elisha takes this offering nonetheless, and he performs a miracle on these loaves. And like again, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one whom Elisha prefigures, the one whom Elisha is a picture of, well, he performs a miracle on this offering, on these loaves, and we read then at the end of this chapter that they left, that they ate, and they left thereof according to the word of God. In other words, just as there were leftovers at the feeding of the 5,000, so there were also leftovers here in this miracle as well. And tonight, as opposed to being useless, your gifts and offerings and talents to the Lord are useful. Like Elisha, Christ can take them and use them to bless many people. Wonder tonight, do you have perhaps something that you could give to the Lord? Maybe perhaps it's like this man, maybe it's a substantial gift, maybe it's a gift in terms of talent, maybe it's something with your hands that you feel that you could do. But maybe you feel like the servitor, like Gehazi, you feel really like it's not very, very worthwhile at all. Maybe you feel like the Lord really doesn't need your gift, or the Lord can't use your gift. Well, what an encouragement for you to set that gift before individuals, just as Elisha commanded Gehazi to set this offering before men. So as you set your offering, your gift, your talent before individuals, what does Christ do? He takes that gift, takes that talent, takes that offering, and he uses it, and he multiplies it, he miraculously utilizes it for his glory, and you could be a blessing to far many more people than you ever thought was imaginable. I'm sure whenever this man who made the long journey from Baal Shalisha to Gilgal brought his little 20 loaves, he never would have thought in a million years that it would have fed and sufficed 100 students, and there would be leftovers. There would be that leftover to sustain them in days to come as well. He never would have thought that in a million years. Yet Elisha did that. He took his small offering and he blessed it and he multiplied it in a way that he never thought imaginable. What encouragement tonight for you, child of God, to whatever your gift, to just simply set it before individuals and to say, look, Lord, here it is. Take it and use it as you see fit. Take me. Use my life. Set me apart and use me in whatever way you want and you feel is appropriate. So tonight we want to just simply look at the offering of the man from Baal Shalisha. The offering from the man of Baal Shalisha. I want you to see firstly here, think about this offering, the person it revealed. The person it revealed, verse 42. So we simply read that there came a man from Baal Shalisha and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley, and full ears of corn in the husk thereof. Baal Shalisha. What a most unusual place for this unknown contributor to come from. It would not be a place that you would associate a sizable donation to the work of God. Baal Shalisha, it lay north of Lydda, in the plain of Sharon, in the north of Israel. And during the reign of King Saul, Israel's first king, the city was actually called Shalisha. You read about that in 1 Samuel chapter 9 and the verse number 4. This city, it was originally called Shalisha. However, during the reign of wicked King Ahab, the king who was king during Elijah's time, the prophet who was before Elisha, there were cities. And during his reign and the reign of wicked Queen Jezebel, there were cities that were completely given over to Baal worship. And so they then had the little prefix Baal added to their name. That signified that that was a city that was now completely given over to idolatry. So here's a city, Baal Shalisha, and it's completely given over now to Baal worship. However, this was where this man came from. And there's no doubt that many of the farmers in this man's village or city sacrificed to Baal, and they would have brought their offering of first fruits to the Canaanite deities. Yet, we find that amongst the Baal worshippers in Baal Shalisha, there was one man who obviously had not bowed the knee to Baal. And what did he do? Well, he felt, rather than give my offering to the pagan goddesses or gods, to the Canaanite gods, I'm going to take my offering and I'm going to take it to those who need it in terms of those who honor the Lord. Here was a man, and he desired to serve the Lord by giving his offering to the sons of the prophets. But the interesting thing about this man is, yes, whilst he was from a city given over to idolatry, and it was a most unlikely source of someone in terms of someone meeting the need, we're not even told his name. He's just named a man from Baal Shalisha. You see, what was important about this man was not his name. That is not how he is to be remembered. What is important about this man is the fact that he did what he could. He gave what he could to advance the cause of the Lord at his time. And rather than using somebodies, Christ delights in using nobodies. He delights to take the nameless nobodies of this world and use them for his honor and glory. No wonder tonight, do you feel like this man? A nameless nobody? Somebody who perhaps you feel as if you haven't very much to offer the Lord? Useless, nameless, small, insignificant in terms of this world. And yet what an encouragement that this man, he was remembered not because of who he was, but he was remembered for what he had done. And child of God, that's how you'll be remembered. You will be remembered not because of your great name. Rather, you will be remembered because of what you have done for Jesus Christ. Again, you think of the book of Hebrews. And there you have in chapter 11, the great hall of faith. Many of the great saints, and they're named. They're named for us. Moses and David and others there. But you know what I find most encouraging about Hebrews chapter 11? Is that after the names of Enoch and Noah and Abraham and all those great saints, you're reading at the end of the chapter, verses 36 through 38, others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with a sword, of whom the world was not worthy. And were not given their names. What is remembered is not who they were. What was remembered is what they had done. You see, before God, it doesn't matter who you are. Rather, it matters what you do. It is how you use your gifts and talents that is important to Him. Tonight you have an offering, as it were, to give before the Lord. The Lord has given you gifts. Gifts differing, as Paul referred to in the book of Corinthians. He says, we're all members of one body, but we all have different members. We all have differing gifts, differing serving gifts. You all have different gifts. I wonder tonight, like this man, are you setting it before the Lord? Are you saying it doesn't matter how small or how insignificant I am or how useless I feel this gift to be, yet are you using it and saying, look, Lord, here it is. Here am I, and take me and use me for your honor and for your glory. What an encouragement. What an encouragement for you tonight to give your all afresh in the service of Jesus Christ, because the Lord, He remembers what you do. D.L. Moody summarized Moses' life like this. For the first 40 years of his life, Moses thought he was a somebody. For the next 40 years of his life, Moses learned that he was a nobody. And for the last 40 years of his life, Moses learned what God could do with a nobody. Tonight you need to learn, like Moses, that we all are really nameless nobodies. But also, that God can use nameless nobodies. Oh, what encouragement. What an impetus and motivation for you to be up and doing while it is yet day. For the might night cometh when no man can work. For you to be setting that offering and setting it before men and saying, look, Lord, use it, bless it, multiply it for your honor and for your eternal praise. The person it revealed, thinking about the offering of the man from Baal Shalisha, I want you to see secondly here the priority it displayed. The priority it displayed, verse 42, we read that there came a man from Baal Shalisha and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley, and full ears of corn in the husk thereof. This food gift that the man from Baal Shalisha gave Elisha was bread of the first fruits. The word bread, it simply means food or provender in general. Now it is described here as bread of the first fruits. Basically, in Bible times, there was the first fruit offering. At harvest time, you read of individuals, and before they would harvest anything for themselves, they would take a first fruit offering, a small part or a small patch of their land. They would harvest it, and they would then give it to the work of God, to the house of God, or to the priest. Exodus 23:19, we read, the first of the first fruits of thy land, thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God. It was to be given to the house of God. Therefore, before harvesting anything for himself, this man, he gave a first fruit offering. He gave of the first fruits of his substance. Before he took anything for himself, he gave his first fruits. He took a small portion of his ground. He harvested the grain and he harvested the barley and so on. And he then brought that offering to Elisha. Now this would have been very difficult for this man. Remember, it's a time of famine. Verse 38, there was dearth in the land. Many were struggling at this time. It would have been hard. It would have been difficult even to make ends meet. Probably the crop, in terms of a large scale, well, it was an extremely bad year, as we would say today. However, this man, before putting his own needs first, yet what did he do? He put the Lord first, and he gave his first fruit offering to the sons of the prophets. And rather than presenting Christ your second best, you are to give him tonight your very best. You're to give him the first fruits of your gifts. Though tonight, I wonder you're doing that. Are you saying, look, Lord, here is the best of my life. Here is the best of my gifts. Here is the best of my talents. So often the Lord gifts individuals. He gives them tremendous ability. Sometimes he gives them tremendous physical ability. Sometimes he gives them a tremendous ability in terms of ministry. And yet how often the people of God, they hoard those gifts and they use them and they spend them on these gifts and things that really are of no substance. And Peter tells us that they will be burned up as wood, hay, and stubble. Oh, tonight, are you saying, look, Lord, here are the best years of my life. Look, Lord, here are the best of my talents. And whilst I could use them in other spheres, in terms of this world, yet I'm going to give you my very best. I'm going to give you the first fruits of my life. Can I especially speak to our young people concerning this? The young people, the Lord has given you time and he has given you energy. And I stress to you the need to give the first fruits, the very best of your life, to the Lord. Because life, it passes away before we know it. Job says that life is like the weaver's beam or the weaver's shuttle. And it just goes back to and fro just like that. Life, it passes us by so quickly. We are to give our very best for Jesus Christ. Only one life will soon be passed, and it is only what's done for Jesus Christ that will last. Just a few days before he was crucified, the Lord was in a house in Bethany. And whilst he was there, Lazarus was there, resurrected from the tomb, and the disciples were there. But Mary was also there. And Jesus Christ, was there in the house of probably a leper, We find that Mary, she took a precious box of ointment and she broke it over the head of Jesus Christ. The reason she did this was because she had tremendous spiritual foresight. She was essentially using this oil as a symbol that she knew he was going to die. It was anointing oil for burying. And the disciples came to Christ and they said that was so costly. It was 300 pence, almost a year's wages. It could have been taken. It could have been sold. It could have been gift given to the poor. And yet what did Christ rebuke the disciples with in saying to Mary? He said this in Mark chapter 14 and verse 8, "She hath done what she could." She hath done what she could. I wonder tonight, are you doing what you can? The Lord's not asking you to do what you can't do. But he is asking you to do what you can do. I wonder you putting him first and saying, "Look, Lord, here it is. This is what I can do. Lord, take it and use it." Do you know what the Lord said to the Israelites in Malachi's day? Malachi chapter 1 verses 12 and 13. "Ye brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord?" And the Jews, they were to bring lambs that had no blemish, and there was nothing wrong with them, or animals in general. Yet what did they do? They brought the worstlings of their flock and not the firstlings. That which was lame, that which had problems, that which had defects. And they said, "Look, Lord, there you go, and that'll do." And yet Malachi, he rebuked them. He rebuked them, why? For holding back and withholding back from the Lord. Christ should not merely be an add-on to life. Christ should be the sum and substance of life. You should put him first in everything. Christ, he is the owner of your life. We're bought with a price. That's what Paul said to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 6. We are bought with a price. That price is the blood of Jesus Christ. Tonight we don't belong to ourselves. We belong to the Lord. We need to give our lives, our very best of our lives, and we need to lay it afresh on the altar for God and say, "Lord, here is the first fruits of my life. Here is the firstlings of my life. Lord, I'm giving it entirely to you." C.H. Spurgeon, speaking about the devotional life of the believer, he said so often, the believer, he gets up in the morning, he has no thought of God. He goes throughout the day, he has no thought of God. And then the night comes, and he merely gives him the fag end of his life. The fag end. And a fag, of course, was just the name for a cigarette or a cigar or whatever it was in his day. Just the very end of the day. O child of God, the Lord wants the first fruits of your life. Not merely just that little bit at the end of the day. He wants your whole life. He demands my life, my soul, my all. A missionary who was watching the construction of a beautiful temple. She was in India, and it was being made for pagan worship. She came to an Indian lady, and she asked the lady very simply, "How much is this beautiful temple going to cost?" The lady looked the missionary in the eye, and she said, "It is for the gods. We don't ask what it costs, we just do." Well, tonight are you putting the Lord first in every aspect of your life? The person it revealed, the priority it displayed. I want you to see thirdly here the problem it encountered. Thinking about this offering again, verse 43 we read, "And the servitor said, what should I set this before 100 men? He said again, give the people that they may eat. For thus saith the Lord, they shall eat and they shall leave thereof." This was quite a substantial offering. 20 barley loaves, probably about the size of this man's hand, and also ears of corn. We're not told how many, but the implication is that it wouldn't have been that many. But whilst it was a substantial offering, there was a problem. As we said, the problem it encountered there was a problem with this offering. And that was this. There were 100 prophets in Gilgal now at this time. So 20 loaves, and one loaf is going to feed one person. Here's Elisha, or here's Gehazi, and this offering is brought to Gehazi. And well, Gehazi, he puts his Maz hat on, and he counts up the number, and he says, "Well, we have 100 men, and we have only 20 loaves." And he says to Elisha, "What? Should I set this before these men? He's questioning the offering. He's questioning the gift. He is questioning the fact that Elisha has asked him to set 20 small loaves before 100 men. Yet Elisha said, look, you do. Give the people that they may eat. For thus saith the Lord, they shall eat and shall leave thereof. And when all seemed hopeless, and when this offering seemed really to amount to very little in terms of the need before these hungry students, yet Elisha said, set it before the men. In other words, he's saying to Gehazi, don't worry about its lack, or don't worry about its limitations. Set it before these men and leave the result with me. And times of testing should not be time to acquit, but rather a time to continue. A time to press on with your offering and gift. You know, there'll be times, believer, that you set your offering before men. And men may feel as if that's not enough. They may feel as if it's not good enough. You're doing your best. You're presenting the first fruits of your life and your talents and your gifts and so on. You're presenting it all before the Lord. And there will be men at times, and they will come along and they will question like Gehazi the servitor. They'll say, what? Should we set it before this man? In other words, they will place a limitation, or they will sow a seed of doubt about your gift or your offering. Yet, I say to you tonight, in such times continue. Like Elisha said to Gehazi, so I say to you, look, you leave the results with the Lord. You use your gift to the very best of your ability and to the very limitation of your capacity, and you set it before men anyway, and you leave the rest and you leave the results with the Lord. I know at times it's discouraging. Perhaps at times as if you feel as if you're getting nowhere. Numbers and small, or enthusiasm is diminishing. At times we feel as if it's time to pack up the bag with our gifts and our talents for the Lord. And yet this is the exact time to continue and to press on. You remember Luke chapter 5. There was Peter and Andrew, some of the most talented fishermen that Galilee ever knew. And they were out fishing, and my, they had had a very discouraging night of fishing. They came back to Jesus Christ. And in Luke 5, verse 5, whenever he was speaking to Christ, he said, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. What did Christ do? He said to Peter, look, go again. Just go another time. And Peter, although he was doubting the word of God, we read in verse 5 again, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And although he was at the point of giving up, and although he was at the point of taking his nets, and he was mending them, and he had put them away for the day, yet he went one last time, and when he let the net down, there were many precious fishes, insomuch so that the nets, they were on the point of breaking, and they needed help to gather in that great catch. When experiencing discouragement, you should still possess a spirit of determination, a resolution that I will present my gifts and talents before Christ and leave it with him. That's what the Lord's saying to you today. Keep going. Keep pressing on. Like this man who just simply brought his gift to the Lord, and although others were questioning it, and others were doubting it, and they were sowing the seeds of doubt, yet this man, he gave the gift to Elisha, and Elisha did the rest. Night, child of God, that's where you need to be. That's the very place that you need to be. Presenting him with the first fruits of your life, your gifts, your talents, your offerings, whatever it might be, and say, look, Lord, small though it might be, you do with what you want with it, and you take it, and you progress it, and you multiply it, and you use it to bless whoever you see fit. The person it revealed, the priority it displayed, the problem it encountered, lastly and quickly, the phenomenon it experienced. Verse 44, so he set it before them, and they did eat and left thereof, according to the word of the Lord. What a glum outlook. 20 measly loaves and 100 hungry students. Yet Elisha took these 20 loaves and these ears of corn. And miraculously, again, we're taken to the miracle-working ministry of Elisha. Miraculously, he takes these 20 loaves, and like his the one whom he prefigures, he multiplies these loaves, and he uses these loaves, and this meal that should have served 20 ended up serving 100, and there were leftovers. And yes, they were in a famine, and yes, they were in dearth, and yes, they felt as if they were at a wit's end. But Elisha took this man's offering, and he performed a miracle on it, and he met the needs of 100 young men. You see, our gifts to the Lord, they are packed with potential. They are not immaterial. The Lord can use them in a way that you never imagined. What encouragement it is tonight to think of Jesus Christ taking whatever your gift and talent is, and using it in a way that you never thought was imaginable. To take perhaps your physical ability, to take perhaps a gift that he has given you and only you. Maybe it's another ability. Lord, the Lord knows what he has given you and what he has equipped you with. And for you just to take that and use that at the command of the Lord. Here was this servitor, and credit where credit's due. He then did exactly as Elisha had told him. He said it before these men. He was obedient. And when you be obedient, the Lord can simply take your small offering, your gift, your talent, and he can bless it in a way that you never even thought was possible. John 6, verse 11. We read there concerning the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus took the loaves. When he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples. And the disciples to them that were set down, likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. Remember the lad that came along? And here's Andrew. He introduces this young lad. He just has 5 small loaves and 2 small fishes. And Andrew sows the seed of doubt into the mind of Christ. What are these amongst so many? Lord, there's only 5 fish and 5 loaves and 2 fish. How on earth are they going to feed 5,000 men? What are these amongst so many? And yet the Lord took that lad's 5 small loaves and 2 fishes, and he fed many, many thousands of people and performed a miracle on it. Well, tonight, although you might feel that whatever the Lord has given you is of no real benefit, perhaps even completely useless, well, you let the Lord decide that. And you set it before him. And you say, look, Lord, take me and use me. Use my life, my life, my gifts, my talents, my offerings. You take them and you impact who you want through it. And you'll be surprised what the Lord can do. Dr. Ted Rendell tells that when Robert Raikes began a Sunday school, he only thought of the poor, ignorant children in Gloucester. He only thought of those whom he wanted to reach in his own little patch. And yet today, the concept of Sunday school, it's in virtually every church that we know in the British Isles. He never thought that that one small thing that he would do would be used and be blessed and owned of God in the way that it has been today. The offering of the man from Baal Shalisha. May the Lord bless his word to your lives this evening.